As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, you conquered the darkness of ignorance by the light of your word. Strengthen within our hearts the gift of faith. Let not temptation ever quench the fire your love has kindled within us. We ask this through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I think one of the challenges of most Christians, and there are many, but one of them, is the desire, the ability to tell our faith stories. How we have come to have faith, what sustains us, and how our spirituality is developing within the Christian tradition. And there are many Christian denominations in which witnessing or explaining to fellow believers how Christ has impacted their lives is commonplace and expected. Anglican Christians in general are not very vocal about our faith. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this may have to do with the Church of England's history, that piety, personal piety, is more important, or not more important, but different than corporate piety. We kind of keep it to ourselves and live our Christian life in a more private and personal manner. And don't you remember being told you never talk about religion or politics? Does anyone ever remember that? They're bound to, that's kind of bound, it might end in arguments, that one. There are exceptions, of course, and I'm thinking about Crisil, that provided a spirit-filled environment where one could actually get excited thinking about their Christian faith. And the book of Acts is all about sharing the good news of Christ and how life lived confidently in Christ. That little word, in Christ, is joy-filled, spirit-infused, and radically different. And it tells the stories of thousands of people moved by the stories of changed lives. Now we have the story today of Peter, who, unlike Paul, had no formal education and yet was full of passion, and states in Acts 4:18, when he was warned to keep quiet about Jesus by the local officials, this is what he said: "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." And remember, unlike Paul, Peter had spent 3 years with Christ. So he had a different relationship. I believe that many of us think we're not worthy or smart enough or are embarrassed to talk about how different our lives are as Christians. But we would do well to remember bumbling, stumbling Peter, who stepped out in faith and changed the world. Last week in our Acts reading, we saw God moving Peter progressively away from religious, legalistic attitudes. And the story was he had had contact with a dead person, Tabitha, and he was staying with Simon the Tanner, whose job as a leather worker put him in contact with dead animals, and it would have made his occupation unclean, and thus Peter hanging with him would have made him unclean. Peter's legalistic spirit was softening. And in today's reading, Peter has gone to Jerusalem to report on the conversion of the Gentiles. But, this is in the third verse, circumcised believers criticized him, saying, boy, there's criticism never stops, right? "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step. So he tells the story of his vision from God about his prejudices and his meeting with the Gentile Cornelius, who had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who's called Peter, and he will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." What do we know about Cornelius? He was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly. He was a member of the occupation army, tired of Roman myths and gods, and his heart had turned to Judaism. And he was called a God-fearer, which in the ancient world was a person who was as close to being a Jew as possible without being able to be a pure Jew. He would not have been allowed, for instance, to offer sacrifices in the temple. Instead, he presents his prayers as sacrifices to God. And he is given a vision featuring a heavenly visitor one afternoon about 3 o'clock. So be very careful when 3 o'clock happens, because you never know what might happen in your life. About 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. The angel calls his name, and Cornelius stares at him with terror and then asks, what does the angel want with him? He is told that God has heard his prayers, and knows of his acts of charity, and he's instructed to send some of his men to Joppa and seek a man named Simon Peter, who was staying with Simon the tanner. While God was drawing Peter away from his prejudice, God was allowing another man towards the risen Jesus. So Peter's on the top of the tanner's house for his noonday prayers. And while his lunch is being prepared, apparently he falls into a trance and has a spectacular vision. And Anne, you read that very well. The heavens open, a huge sheet descends, bound at four corners, which correspond to the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. All of us, all the people who make up God's world. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. And then a voice says, "Oh, Peter, kill them and eat them." Peter was horrified and protested that he had never eaten anything unclean. "Oh, no, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." The voice says a second time, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." This happened three times, so that there could be no possible mistake or dodging of the lesson. And then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. And Peter was very proud of his prejudices, thank you very much. He clung to religious traditions that were often impossible to uphold. And today we have our own form of legalism, right? The rules. Who knows the rules? I think we do, sometimes. There used to be worse rules. Remember, you used to have to wear a hat? Women had to wear a hat and gloves. Remember that? You know, gloves. We have our own do's and don'ts. The problem for Peter and for us is that we often define Christianity based on things that we must refrain from doing. We joke, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't drink alcohol, we don't chew gum, and we stay away from people that do. Being a disciple of Jesus is not solely defined by what we don't do, but whose we are and what we are called to be. Accepting one another, showing tolerance, patience, and forgiveness, demonstrating mercy to those we declare unclean by our standards. And, you know, we have over 1,200 different denominations in the Protestant world. That's because everybody gets upset and then they all leave, and then those people get upset and they leave, and those people get upset and they leave. By God's standard, everything that God has made is clean. Because here's the principle: God does not make junk. Ever. The vision left Peter confused. Once Peter would have called a Gentile unclean, but God was preparing him for the visitors that would come. So the Holy Spirit tells Peter that three men are looking for him, and he's to go out with them without hesitation. So just as the doctor ordered, A knock on the door reveals the visitors. They announce their mission, and Peter, maybe to get some further insight, invites them to stay overnight. The next morning, they all set out for Joppa to meet up with Cornelius. As divinely ordered, these two men face each other, one ready to hear about the Messiah and the other ready to share the good news. And I believe that the Lord will show us some new truth and will also provide opportunity to act upon what we have known. There's this, I don't know where this came from, but impression without expression leads to depression. I'll just hang that out there. A new truth God wants us to see or hear may come in a Bible study, may come in a sermon, or perhaps doing something we didn't want to do, or perhaps taking a chance. An encounter in a grocery store. Yes, even in the beer store. When God challenges our hearts, he will provide the situation and an opportunity to put the insight into practice. Impression without expression leads to depression. And, you know, we need to expect these divine windows of opportunity and welcome them as gifts. God is always doing new things in the lives of his people. It's beautiful. The prophet Ezekiel writes, "A new heart I will give you and put a new spirit within you." And in Isaiah 45 we read, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it?" God was doing a new thing in Cornelius and in Peter, and he will continue every second of every day to do a new thing in us, right now, right here, in this place. God's church and her people can do great things when we allow God the freedom to change our lives. And God wants his church, Ecclesia, you and I, to reach more and more people for Christ. And here's the thing. Preach the gospel. Sometimes use words. The early church was repeatedly challenged by God to do things that were uncomfortable so that the gospel could reach the four corners of the world. And the divine encounter of a Gentile and a Jew is so apt for the modern day disciple. The artificial barriers of prejudice and fear are dismantled. They are no longer we and they, but you and I. And we are members of God's family, and nothing else comes close to that sense of belonging. We are the message of God's love and joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. We are the message, and what a message it is. What prejudice do we need to change in our hearts so that we can reach out to somebody who's maybe not like us? I had an experience yesterday. I did a funeral at Sliamon, and I was uncomfortable. It was out of my comfort zone. It was in this lovely, intimate place. It was with people I didn't know. And it was hard. But I'm so glad that I said yes. Because believe me, part of me didn't want to do it. Who is the Cornelius in our lives? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and God will give you a new perspective, a new vision, and a release from any prejudices that keep you from experiencing unity in our hearts and in any community of faith. And this is good news. Today, tomorrow, and into eternity. Let us pray. Lord, make us your church into the people you want us to be. And forgive us when we fall short. Teach us to be generous in judgment, bold in commitment, and sensitive in listening. Where we find no love, let us bring love and make us more like you, day by day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.